Well, good morning, and welcome to Lester Memorial. We're happy to have you this morning join us and for worship. And before we get started, I have a few announcements for you. If you are not receiving emails from Elaine or from the church office, we would like to resolve that issue. So if you would like to receive those emails, you can look in your bulletin. There's some instructions there. But if you would email send an email to this email, website at lester-memorial.org, and then we will get that problem fixed for you. This Wednesday, if you have walked into the church office, you may have seen all of these supplies for disaster relief, for the hurricane relief. We are collecting lots of items, many items to send to Texas and probably to other areas that have been affected by the hurricane. They will first go to the United Methodist Disaster Relief Warehouse, which is in Decatur. But if you would like to provide any items for that, there's a list in your bulletin that you can look at and bring those items by Wednesday. Wednesday is the last day for collection for those items. And then next Sunday, everything else that I have is in regard to next Sunday. It's a busy day. So we will start off next Sunday with men's prayer breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning. So please make plans to be here for that, for breakfast, and then for a devotion as well. Later on that afternoon, Anna and Edu will be having a housewarming party. So if you would like to attend that, there's some information in your bulletin regarding that. It starts at 2 o'clock and will end at 4 o'clock. And next Sunday is also the last day for the Amen shoeboxes, which is kind of like Operation Christmas Child. But if you would like to provide a shoebox full of gifts for people in Honduras, that Jim Sims will take those or collect those. There are cardboard boxes on the counter by the sound booth. If you would grab one of those, there are instructions in there on how to make that happen. And then finally, next Sunday evening during our youth time from 6 o'clock till 7, we will have a time of sharing about our ASP summer. And so if you're interested, if you would like to hear about our summer, about what took place on ASP, we'll show a video. We'll have, I think we may have some desserts, some ice cream or something like that. But come gather and hear about our experience. We would love to have you join us. Will you join me in prayer? God, we ask that you open our hearts to receive your Spirit this morning. God, we pray that during this time that you just move throughout this room and throughout these people. God, we thank you so much for these people and for this community. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Y'all stand up and sing with us.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands. For I will always sing of when your love came down. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands. For I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Mm-hmm. the mountains and the sea. Your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth. And I will daily lift my hands. For I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. 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 Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance for joy like we're dancing now. I could sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. In the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. by the wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Glad you're here today. I'm glad that we can worship our God together. As we turn our thoughts toward our prayer time, I remind you of the insert that has a really long prayer list on it, just to remind you of how many folks are in need and people that need our prayers and support. And saying that, I want to just tell you thank you. To you, our church family, for the many ways you have expressed your love and your care for us in the death of my brother. It has been a long journey of several weeks, and well, actually about 4 months. And just to be surrounded by love and care just is really important thing. So thank you for all your expression of love and care for our family. It just means a lot to us, and we want to just acknowledge that. Want to add to our prayer list this morning. I got a text from Ron Shea that his father passed away during the night. So please remember that family in your prayers. And then also add to your prayer list Carol Swan Patterson, who's I understand in the last stages of some cancer treatment. So please remember these folks in your prayers, and let's pray that that the presence of God just descend upon us in worship today. Okay. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you, God, so much for your great love for us. Lord, we're blessed to be a part of your family, to be named as your sons and your daughters. And God, to realize that whatever things come our way, and Lord, especially when we're facing death, to know, God, that you have the final say. God, that you have an eternal home waiting on us. And God, we're so grateful that we have that promise. Because as we say goodbye to our loved ones, we really need that. So we thank you and praise you for that. God, we pray for those on our prayer list who are going through difficulties, other folks that might be on our hearts today. God, we pray for healing. And God, we pray that whatever happens, Lord, we believe that ultimate healing resides in you. And so, God, we believe that sometimes we're healed in the resurrection. And so we celebrate that as well. And God, I pray that other situations that people are in, that God, that you would respond to the needs. Lord, we want to especially lift up to you the folks who are really going through the brutal hurricane that's devastating Florida right now. God, just pray that you be with folks in the path of that. God, bless them, protect them. God, help them as in a day or two they start trying to recover. Lord, bless those in Houston and other areas of Texas that are also in the process of recovering from devastation from another storm. So, God, we pray that you bless them, Lord. Help them, God, through their difficult times. Lord, we also want to pray for our men and women who are serving in the military, particularly those in hostile places. Lord, we pray that you protect them. God, we pray that they know your presence, their families know your presence while they're separated. God, we pray that you bring them all home safe, Lord. What a great thing if we could stand one day and proclaim an end to war, because people have come to know you, the Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you that you're with us this morning. Lord, we just pray that as we worship you this morning, we might feel and experience the power of your presence among us. God, I pray that that we really do open our hearts to worship you fully and completely today. God, look upon our hearts. God, I ask you to remove anything there, God, that would get in the way of our worship. And fill us, God, with your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we ask also now that you bless the offering we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's nothing worth more sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become
invite our children to make their way to Children's Church. The couple was celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. So someone asked them, what's the secret to 60 years of marriage? Well, the husband said, well, early on in our marriage, we decided that I would make all the major decisions and my wife would make all the minor decisions. And she chimed in, and we haven't had to make a major decision in our entire 60 years. Well, sometimes I guess we kind of feel that way, so that we're not heard. Have you ever just wanted to hang a sign up on your door or maybe on your office or something that just says gone fishing? I used to see that in cartoons and stuff. I've never actually really, even as a kid, never went to a store where there was a sign up that said gone fishing. But there are a lot of times I just like to put up a sign, gone fishing, I'm checked out. Talk to you later. Well, when I thought about this scripture I wanted to share this morning, I thought that's probably what these disciples could do. They could put up a sign that said, gone fishing, but fishing for bigger fish. Let's read the scripture, Matthew 4, 12 through 22. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let's pray. Well, God, we just ask simply that you speak to us today. Help us, God, to hear what you want to say to us, Lord. Remove all the obstacles, all the clutter that gets in the way. And God, just help us to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I read this passage of Scripture, there's really one thing that just stands out very clearly. And that is that God calls us to his vision for humanity. Now, as a child growing up in the church, I didn't get this. I didn't know that I was supposed to be a part of God's vision for the world. I thought, my brothers and I were having this discussion the other night, we all kind of grew up thinking that if we just followed the rules, we're okay. Go to church, follow the rules. That's what it meant to be a Christian. And the rules were pretty simple. You know, there are things you didn't do. And there wasn't a whole lot of what you were supposed to do other than go to church. But there were a whole lot of things you weren't supposed to do. But somewhere along the way, we missed that message that God is calling us into his vision for humanity. Now, two things I want to say about that. First of all, God's desire is to save people, okay? I hope we get that. God's desire is to save people. Somewhere along the way, I think in the Christian church, we've kind of lost that message. As we've talked about doing good things, and it is a positive thing in our lives when we invest ourselves in doing good to help people. That's part of what we're called to do. But sometimes we focus so much on that we fail to realize God's desire is to save people from their sins. We talked about that a few weeks back. God wants to save people. Now, this is really important, because what I fear is that sometimes we spend our time condemning people instead of trying to help them get saved, to help them find the peace and joy of Christ. I've just started reading a book entitled Good Faith. And basically, and I've just started it, so I haven't read a lot of it. But in the beginning, he talks about how that people think about the Christian faith as being irrelevant in our culture today. And as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking about maybe one of the reasons that we're irrelevant, or people think we're irrelevant in our culture, is that we spend our time trying to play nice or trying to be good or trying to make everybody feel better instead of talking to people about God sent Jesus in the world to save us. That was his whole purpose in coming, was to save us. Now, if that's God's desire for people, that doesn't take too long for us to transition into thinking that really should be what we're doing, is helping people to be saved through Jesus Christ. Now, if we really believe that there's a heaven and a hell, how could we rest knowing somebody we love and we care about is going to hell? Or might be going to hell even. See, it becomes really important for us to share our faith so that other people can find salvation through Jesus Christ. God's desire is to save people. When Jesus calls these disciples to follow him, I'm going to send you out to fish for people. That's what he's talking about. you're going to represent me so that others might find hope in me and eternal life. So God calls us to be a part of that mission. Well, the second thing about that is God's desire is for us to shine the light of Jesus, into the darkness. Verse 16 in this passage says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. It doesn't take too long for us to think about, well, our role then is to shine the light of Jesus. It's not my light I'm shining. It's not your light you're shining. Okay? It's the light of Jesus in our lives. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. God, I don't know about you, but it's not a stretch at all for me to see the darkness that's a part of our world. There's so much darkness. So many places where people don't experience what we would call normal life. Places where people are hurting. Places where people are abused. They have to go through horrible things. Some of us here have likely experienced some difficulties in our lives. So what God is calling us to, as he was calling those disciples on that day, I want you to follow me. I'm going to send you out to fish for people. And one of the ways you do that is you shine my light into their lives. Help them discover that there's light for the darkness in which we live. Now, when we fail to catch God's vision, we are disconnected from God's purpose in the world. As a result, there are at least two pitfalls, okay? First of all, if we're disconnected from God's purpose, we tend to have a life centered on that which has no enduring value. Life is all about me. I see so much of that. Life is about me. We don't really invest or think about what we can do in God's economy to minister to folks. We don't think about ways in which we can invest in helping people discover the God who loves them. People are lost. And if all my life is centered on me, I'm not going to see anything beyond myself. In Luke's gospel, Jesus tells about this rich man who's apparently had this bountiful crop. And his response to that is, well, I'm just going to build bigger barns. I'm going to fill my barns up. I'm going to put more food in there. And then I'm going to say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now, that's this narcissistic view that says life is all about me. I don't care what's happening in other people's lives. I don't care how they're being affected. All I care about is what affects me. Don't bother me with what's going on in somebody else's life. Don't bother me with those things that might make me feel bad. Because if I'm never exposed to those things that other people are going through, then my emotions won't ever be triggered to think about what other people may be going through. Now, one of the things that I've learned over the years, people say and do things because of what's going on inside them. And sometimes our responses come from something that we're experiencing inside us. We may have brokenness we're dealing with. We may have tragedy in our lives that we're dealing with, and somehow that comes out in a negative way toward others. So one of the things that God has shown me and has helped me understand over the years is that when we hurt, we have a tendency to hurt other people. Hurting people hurt people. And so if we can just take the time to listen, if we can take the time to try to enter into somebody else's experience, it might just be that we might be a source of healing and comfort, a source of encouragement. I tell you what, if there's anything needed in our world today, it's encouragement. So many people are discouraged. So many people are hurting from different things or issues in their lives. But if I'm just focused on me, if life is all about me, then I'm probably not going to invest myself in others. Well, the second pitfall is that we're vulnerable to wasted living. Vulnerability to wasted living. Because we have no investment in a greater purpose. Now, life can really be pretty miserable if we don't invest ourselves in something beyond ourselves. We need a greater purpose than just what I'm experiencing with myself and my family. We need a bigger purpose. That's where, if we really listen to what Jesus is saying to these disciples as he's calling them, maybe we can hear him calling us to invest ourselves in that greater purpose. The writer of Ecclesiastes said, "I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind." Now, we believe that perhaps that was written by Solomon. And you think, my goodness, how could Solomon feel that way? Solomon was king. Solomon had everything that a man could possibly want. Except, he went through this long period in his life where all Solomon thought about was Solomon. He wasn't connected to that greater purpose. Now, we believe that he did reconnect a little later. But Solomon went through this long dry spell in his life, and he hated life, just like he writes here in Ecclesiastes, that things in his life, there was nothing there that would give him happiness and joy, no way that he could engage in something beyond what he was experiencing for himself. In our Alpha course, and I can't remember which, you would recognize the name if I could remember it, but some rock musician was quoted as saying, "I wish everybody could make lots of money, have everything they want, and then find out that that doesn't bring them happiness." This is written from someone who made lots of money. And the reason for that is we're still the same person. Raul Torres was a big man in his hometown of Juncos, Puerto Rico. Successful businessman, had done really well. Life was pretty good, but Torres wasn't really happy. He went to this evangelistic crusade in his city, and at the invitation, he responded. He and his wife, Migdalia, and their three sons all went down to the altar because, as he said, I needed something more in my life. Now, it's been a few years ago, but the last I read about him, he was pastoring a Spanish-speaking congregation in Elgin, Illinois. No longer the big man in town, but happy because he had invested in something beyond himself. Fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. See, that's what Jesus is calling these disciples, these fishermen, to do. I want to invite you to invest yourselves in something beyond yourself. Or just go through we can either do that or just go through the mundane, everyday chore of living. Well, Jesus announced, it's a new day. The kingdom of God was near. Two things. First of all, God reigns over humanity. God is the king, okay? Who we are and what we do has an eternal bias. We belong to God. See, from the time Jesus came on the scene, life was supposed to be different. And I shared with you how I'm concerned about where we are in our culture. As people, a lot of people thinking that the church is irrelevant. Maybe it's because we haven't latched on to and invested ourselves in this understanding of the kingdom of God is here. And as a result, we live in the kingdom of the world without ever really thinking about what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. I just saw some interesting things. This is also in Gabe Lyon's book, Good Faith. According to his book, 3 out of 4 U.S. adults have some Christian background. Now, I want you to just think about those numbers. 3 out of 4 adults in America have some Christian background. Now, that may be having gone to Christian school. That may be had some relationship to a church at one time. But then they go on to say, but about 3 in 5 American Christians are mostly inactive in their faith. 3 out of 5 are mostly inactive in their faith. Now, I didn't look up to see where they got their figures and to document that. But that just kind of blew me away a little bit as I'm thinking about that. Maybe it's because we haven't latched on to this fact that God is the King. God reigns over humanity. Our lives, our world, our faith has an eternal bias. It's not just about what happens here. It's about where we go from here. Paul wrote, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Catch that? The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Could you identify, or can you identify with Paul's testimony? I'm crucified with Christ. But it's really not me living. Christ is living in me. Well, if you can, then let me ask you, where are you fishing for people? I really didn't expect a raucous response, okay? But I seriously want to challenge you, myself included. Where is it that you and I are fishing for people? See, what Jesus called those disciples to wasn't just for them, it's for us too. And I'm absolutely convinced that somewhere in our life, God wants to use us to fish for people. And so I'm asking you, where do you find yourself doing that? How do you shine the light of Jesus into the darkness of your world? See, where are you invested in what God is doing? If he's really the King, if God reigns over humanity, how and where are we investing ourselves in others? Because remember, God's desire is to save people. God's desire is to save people. Well, finally, oh, by the way, Jesus was calling them and us to obey, not to just be acquainted with religion. Jesus said, follow me, and I'm going to send you out to fish for people. Well, finally, interest into God's kingdom is predicated upon our willingness to repent. You know what Jesus said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, these weren't evil people necessarily, but they were living as if God didn't matter. This message of Jesus, repent for the kingdom of heaven had come near, was for every person who heard his voice. Now, it's kind of interesting to me really sad, though, not just interesting, but sad, that we think that we're supposed to pat each other on the back into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, no, the way you really get into the kingdom is to repent. The problem is today we don't think we have anything to repent of. What we've decided, apparently we've decided that there's no sexual things that are sinful anymore. And we could go on with dishonesty, anger. I mean, that list is huge. But apparently we decided everything we do is okay, so we really don't have anything to repent of. And that's completely wrong thinking. These people weren't evil people. They were just living as if God didn't matter, and that's what we do in our lives. We live as if God doesn't matter. When we make our decision, do our own thing, we justify whatever behavior we want to justify. So we really have difficulty finding anything to repent of. Really? Maybe. If we looked at our lives as they are defined by God, it just could be we have a whole lot to repent of. Because quite frankly, we make a lot of decisions in our lives, we do a lot of things that at least give the impression that God doesn't matter. Now, I believe you're here because God does matter to you, okay? Let me hasten to say that. And we're on this journey together to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Ruth Anna Metzger is a professional singer. She was hired by a very wealthy individual in Seattle to sing at one of his children's wedding. And they were having this very lavish reception after the wedding at a very expensive place in downtown Seattle. The wedding went off. They got to where the reception was being held. They rode up the elevator, and Ruth Anna said, man, it was just, everything was decorated. There was all kind of very nice gourmet hors d'oeuvres, and waiters were wearing tuxedo. The orchestra getting ready to play all had tuxedos on. She said it was really going to be quite a party. Well, when they got to the door, the maitre d' said, what's your name? She said, Ruth Anna Metzger. He said, I'm looking through the M's. I don't see that. Spell your name. And she spelled it, and he said, ma'am, I'm sorry. You're not on the list. She said, but I have to be on the list. I sang at the wedding. And this is what he said. He said, I don't care what you did. If your name's not on this list, you're not invited. Well, they left. They were escorted down the service elevator. They wouldn't even let them go back down the main elevator. They get down to the parking area. They got in their car. They left. After they'd been riding a little ways, headed home, her husband reached over and touched her arm and said, honey, what happened? She said, I remember when the invitation came and you're required to RSVP. And she said, I was really busy and I forgot about it. I thought about, I wonder if we get so busy in our lives, so wrapped up in our things, that we forget about God's invitation. That's sealed in blood. The blood of Jesus. And we get to thinking, well, maybe I'll do that later. I'll take care of that at a later time. What do you think would have happened if those fishermen on that day had said, well, you know, That really sounds interesting. And I really want to talk to you about that, but not today. Maybe later. I don't think they would have got Jesus coming by again. Now, don't hear me saying that we only have one opportunity. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that we have opportunity to respond to God, to this invitation of Jesus. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Because you definitely want to be on that list of those who celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we have a great opportunity to invest ourselves in God's vision for humanity. I want to invite the praise team to come by. And as they're coming, I don't know where you are in your life. Only you and God know that. But here's the thing. It may be that God is saying something to you today that you hadn't heard for a while. Maybe he's saying, I want to send you out to fish for people. I have some of my children that I love that don't know about me yet. And I need you to help me. I need you to shine the light in the darkness that's a part of our world. And I'm asking you, would you come follow me? And I'll send you out. That's the call of God to us. It may be that in your life you've put off responding to this invitation from Christ. Today would be a great day for you to respond to his invitation. I invite you to stand as we sing.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry.
What a great word in that song, I'm offering all of me. That's really when Jesus calls, he says, just come. I'm going to teach you what you need to know, and I'll send you out. Because a lot of my children don't know who I am yet. There's a lot of darkness in our world. Lord God, thank you that you trust in us to be fishermen. God, to reach out in the name of Jesus, to shine your light in the darkness. God, help us. Help us to know that what we're about in the church and what we're about in the kingdom, God, are essential things that people need to hear and need to know. So God, help us to offer your love and your grace in all the ways that we can, in all the places we can. Lord, I ask you to bless each one who's here. God, fill us with your presence. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.